So we're studying the book of James, and tonight chapter 3, the first 12 verses. And the conversation went something like this. Somebody on the front row said, "My ear hurts." Somebody on the second row heard, "The pastor has an earache today." On the third row, somebody heard, "I heard the pastor had a new hearing aid." The fourth row said, "The pastor's having trouble hearing, so you have to speak up." On the fifth row, the little old lady stood up and said, "That does it. The pastor's got a double earring, and I'm leaving." So some conversations don't turn out like they started. They can be confusing and conflicting. And tonight we're going to study how to watch your mouth. Or maybe a better title is Beware of the Tongue, the most dangerous instrument in our body. Read with me, if you will, chapter 3, verse 1 and following. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man." Now, before we go further, that word is mature. He's a mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. "And if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? And can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Father, I pray tonight for strength, for anointing, and for the opportunity to teach what you have taught me. But most of all, for you to speak through me to a congregation that is bound for eternity. Help us tonight to learn so that we might live and love more and more like Jesus. In that name we pray. Amen. I have said to you that James is a definitive book. It's a training book in the New Testament. It really matches up well with Proverbs from the Old Testament. And as you look at the Proverbs, one of the strong principles of Proverbs is that you and I ought to use our words wisely. And over in the Proverbs, Solomon, the wise man, says, "Listen to the word." And quite often he says, "Listen twice as often as you speak." So the proverb sets the stage in the Old Testament for the control of our tongue. And then we come to the book of James in the New Testament, and we get another great dose on how to watch your mouth and control your tongue. So I'll share with you five simple thoughts tonight, and you have those blanks that you can fill in on your handout if you'd like to do so. Number one, the tongue must be committed. Please notice what Paul says, or James says, in the third chapter and the first verse. He says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Paul says to young Timothy, those truths that you have received, entrust them to gifted men who are also able to teach. You see, the Word of God is such a precious commodity that it cannot be trusted to those who do not know it, understand it, apply it in their own lives, and are able to share it with others that they might be receptive of it. Jesus spoke with great authority, and that's one of the things that caused the scribes and the Pharisees to find fault with him. He spoke with more authority than they were able to speak. James says, not everybody is qualified to be a teacher. Now, that doesn't mean big me, little you, and it doesn't mean some are superior and others are inferior. What it does mean is that God gifts every believer in different ways. We all have spiritual gifts, and those of us who have been gifted to teach need to teach. And those who have been gifted to be prayer warriors or encouragers or sing in the choir or play an instrument, those ought to be about the Father's business in the area where they have been gifted. But it is vital, James says, that the tongue must be committed. And there are two reasons for that, James says. First of all, it will reveal your spiritual maturity. If your tongue is committed, you will become, and it says perfect man, but we get the image of one who never made a mistake, and that's not what it means. It means a man who has grown and matured in the things of God. It will reveal, if you are a teacher, that you have spiritual maturity, that you have not only logos, that's the Word of God, but rhema, that you've experienced the Word, you're able to apply the Word, and you're able to edify others with sharing the Word. So it reveals your spiritual maturity. It also will reveal your spiritual mastery. Every time you go to the doctor, or at least when I go, one of the first things that he asks you to do is to stick out your tongue. I'm not a medical student, so I'm not exactly sure what he sees when he looks at the tongue, but evidently he makes some kind of decision on whether your tongue's where it ought to be and doing what it ought to be, or whether it's not where it should be and it's not doing what it ought to be. But I've never been to a doctor that I did not show him my tongue. It evidently reveals something to him. Now, on the serious side, I've never spent more than 5 minutes with a man or a woman and listened to them talk and not be able to tell whether they knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, whether they had a life committed to the cause of Christ, whether they were walking in purity and obedience, or whether they were living after the flesh and their father, the devil. Our tongue reveals our spiritual mastery. And so he says, don't let a novice, one who does not know the Word, one who is not accountable to the Word, don't let him teach. The tongue must be committed. Number two, the tongue must be controlled. Look again, if you will, at verses 2 and 3. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a mature man. He's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. And if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. So when we're talking about the tongue being under control, I want you to see the connection here. He says that your whole body is impacted by your tongue, your speech, your conversation. What you think comes out. What you feel comes out. I've quoted this to you before. Vance Havner always says, what's in the well will eventually come up in the bucket. And somebody else said one time, if you really want to know if a man's committed, hand him a hammer and watch until he hits his thumb and you'll know whether or not he's a committed Christian. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that there's a great connection here, that the controlling of the tongue disciplines the whole body, and that if your heart's not right, your conversation will prove that. If your head's not right, if you don't have the mind of Christ, your conversation will prove that. So see the connection, but also would you see the concern? He says that a big ship is controlled by a little rudder. A big horse is controlled by a little bridle. A big fire can be started by a little spark. You get the point there? A small tongue can ruin a reputation. A small tongue can destroy a person. A small tongue can hurt, can tear down, can tear apart. A small tongue can bring disunity and disharmony to the cause of Jesus Christ. Here's the concern. It's hard enough to control a ship on smooth waters, but on a stormy sea, a little rudder is expected to control the ship. Sometimes we act as if all is well when it's high noon and things are going good for us. And yet when storms come, he said, it's what you say. It's your conversation that makes a difference. And let me just give you a graphic illustration of that. I couldn't count on my fingers and toes and Mike's fingers and toes, and some of you join in as well, the times I've been in hospital rooms where doctors delivered terrible and tragic news to families. I couldn't count that many times over my whole ministry. And I've seen families fall apart and go to pieces. I've heard them blame God, curse God, scream and leave the room. And then I've watched other families fall on their knees and say, "Oh, Father," and begin to pour their hearts out in prayer. And as I've watched, I have seen others, listen to me, others in the room watch. Others who were not members of that family or friends. Others who were there with some other patient. Others who were just looking to see. And I've always been reminded of Paul and Silas at the midnight hour in the jail in Philippi. And it just says this, and at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. And then listen, and the prisoners heard them. That's what it says, and the prisoners heard them. And I'll never forget the day in my study that it occurred to me, had it said, and Paul and Silas murmured, complained, and cursed God and blamed him, it still would have said, and the prisoners heard them. Listen to me. This world's listening. This world is watching. Your tongue and my tongue needs to be controlled. Get the connection. What I say proves who I am. Number three, the tongue can be used in a very careless way. An interesting little phrase that you might not catch in verse 5. The tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. As I began to look at some of the original language there, I discovered that that is a phrase that has something to do with an orchestra, with the playing of instruments. It is as if to say, here are all the instruments that are going to play. And over here is one instrument that just has a very small part. But if that instrument with a very small part hits the wrong note, all instruments will be impacted and influenced by it. What he's saying is, even the least of us who dishonor God with our conversation cause problems in our world for the most of us. Central Church can be considered to be what you say it is, how you act in public, how you live out your life. Your next door neighbor, the man you work next to, the person you do business with, he doesn't know all of us. He knows you. And you may be the very best Christian he knows. And when he looks at you, you are a reflection of all of us. If you're fair, he sees us as a fair. If you're equitable, if you're kind, if you're tender, if you're merciful, if you're forgiving, if you're patient, you very well may see all of us as that way. But listen, in this world, if you're not, the whole church at times gets the rap. A number of years ago, was on visitation and visited a young family, and the young family asked me a question, does so-and-so go to your church? And I said, yes. And he said, that's all I needed to know. We won't be back. The shame of that is hundreds of us were judged by the actions and the attitude of one of us. But that's the world. So what James is saying is, be careful. You may just have a small part, but if your note's sour, it impacts the whole orchestra. If you don't hit the right note, the sound is not certain. The tongue can be used in a careless way. It's a small member. It boasts of great things. Number four, the tongue can cause chaos. Verses 6, 7, and 8. When we read these verses, here's what we really discover. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness set among our members, staining the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. He goes on to say, nothing has ever been created, animal, that cannot be tamed, except no man, only God, no man can tame the tongue. So what is the cause of chaos when our tongue is not tamed? It's set on fire by hell. Now, I want you to listen to this just for a moment. I never doubt your salvation if you say you're saved. I hope you never doubt mine. But did you know that if Satan cannot keep you from being saved, his next step is to ruin your spiritual reputation and testimony in the world? If he does not stop you from coming to Calvary, he wants to keep you from having influence and impact for the cause of Jesus Christ. And the best way Satan knows how to do that is to set our tongues on fire from hell. It only takes a few words to cause disharmony and disunity. Only a few words to destroy a reputation, to destroy a person, to tear down what has been built up for the longest period of time. The best illustration I know of, and you'll see that just outside these walls, it'll take them another 8 or 9 months to finish that building. We all know what the force of nature can do. 8 or 9 months to finish the building. 8 or 9 seconds if a tornado comes along to destroy the building. A lifetime to build a reputation. An instant to tear it down again. The tongue can cause chaos in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to know that. And it's getting quieter in here by the moment. But here's what else you need to know. Not only does the tongue cause chaos, and we see what the cause is, here's the consequences. Your very nature, are you in Christ or not, can be determined by how you talk. Your very nurturing, how were you raised? How have you been taught? Are you a faithful member of the Lord's church having been taught? Your very negativity can be discovered by just opening your mouth. And even your newness in Christ, that can be discovered by just opening your mouth. Do you know anybody tonight that is constantly negative? You know anybody? Or are you that body? You know anybody tonight that is constantly critical? Know anybody tonight that constantly puts others down so they themselves appear to look bigger and better? You know anybody tonight that can't say something good, always has to say something bad about folks? That's exactly what James is talking about. Satan uses our conversation. He uses what we have to say. It's not likely any one of us will ever walk up to any other one of us with a folded fist and a punch in the nose. But I tell you the truth, that does not hurt nearly so much as hearing someone having said something about you in such a critical and judgmental way that your heart's broken, not your nose. The tongue can cause chaos. And finally, let me say this. The tongue can be very contrary. James says it can bless God. And boy, don't we know that. Our choir, every Lord's Day, those who sing special music, they just raise the rafters with praise to God. I watch you. I see you respond in song. I know that God is being honored by what our mouth is doing, what our tongue is doing as we sing the praises of the Lord. I catch myself from time to time riding along in my car, and I'll just begin to sing because I have a song in my heart or a song in my mind that reminds me of something I've read, something I've studied, something I'm experiencing, something I'm going through at that point in time. I know that we can praise God with our tongues, and we're not very good at it. But boy, there's going to come a day when we will be perfect at praising God with our tongues. In fact, every time somebody says, "Holy, holy, holy," the 24 elders fall down before the throne of God and start praising Him. And it doesn't just last for a little while. There's no night there, so you don't have to get out of church. You're just there. You're in church. And you worship Him and you praise Him. And on the glory shore, our tongue will praise Him forevermore. Don't you love that hymn that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days. What to sing, to use our tongue and sing His praise than when we first begun. I know the tongue can praise the Lord. But I also know the tongue can destroy humanity and curse the things of Christ. And so tonight, I just want you in these closing moments to grasp this one thought. It makes little or no difference for your feet to walk in right places if your tongue does not say right things. I don't know if you heard that or not. It makes little or no difference for your feet to walk in right places if your tongue does not say right things. You can brag about where you haven't been, where you don't go, what you don't do. But you remember that what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And if your heart's right, your conversation will prove that. If you have the mind of Christ, your conversation will prove that. A man approached John Wesley on one occasion and said, "Speaking my mind, why, that's my talent." And John Wesley said, "I believe that's one talent God would not mind you bearing." You'd have to know your Bible to laugh at that. So what do we do about this tonight? I mean, if we're one of those kind of people who have to stop and be honest and say, you know, there are times when I gossip. There are times when I criticize. There are times when I'm judgmental. There are times when I'm negative. There are times when I know I've said things that hurt. And I've just chalked it up to that's who I am and that's how I am. No. If you're a new person in Christ, that's who you used to be. But it ought not to be who you are. If you're a new person in Christ, old things have passed away. So what can I do? What can you do to stop the cycle? Let me just list these real quickly. Number one, stop listening to negativity. Stop listening to criticism. Stop listening to judgmental attitudes. Stop listening to gossip. Just stop. Walk away. Well, I'm afraid I'll lose a friend. They're not much of a friend if that's what they've got to say. Stop it. Do not listen to it. Number two, do not be the one who says it. Stop being critical. Yeah, but there's so much wrong. But brother, listen, there's some right things you can talk about too. Grace is still in the saving business. The Bible is still true, and we're still going to heaven if Jesus has come into our heart. Start talking about right things. Stop the criticism. Stop the negativity. Stop the destruction. Stop proving your immaturity and maybe even your unbelief. Start confronting. Now listen closely. Start confronting in the spirit of love. That's not easy. But start confronting in the spirit of love with reproof and correction those who constantly are critical or judgmental about your church, your family, your friends, your pastors. You say, well, how can we defend somebody that's wrong? Let God be the one who convicts. You be the one who defends. Let God be the one who convicts. Start confronting in love. In love, start confronting with reproof and correction those whose tongues destroy and devour. Stay focused. Don't get caught off guard by Satan. Don't walk into a set of circumstances. Stay focused. Don't begin to say something and tell something. Stay focused. Keep your mind on the things of God. Realize that within my body and your body, we have an instrument that can praise and bless, and we also have an instrument that can curse and destroy. Stay focused. And if you want to jot this down, I found this the other day. I like it. Think, T-H-I-N-K, and the T stands for true. Is it true? The H, does it help? The I, will it inspire? The N, is it necessary? And the K, is it kind? Let me say that one more time. T-H-I-N-K, just think. I'm about to say something, so just think. Is it true? Will it help? Will it inspire? Is it necessary? Is it kind? What if all of us adopted that little concept for all the days that we have remaining on this earth? Our tongue would never cease to praise Him, would never cease to encourage and edify others, and would never cease to be an instrument in our body that was totally surrendered and dedicated to the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Mike and I will be in the altar, and just a couple of verses will be played. If you've never trusted Christ, we'd be glad to share with you how you can know Him as Lord and Savior. If you want to become a part of our church, we'd be glad to share with you how that can happen. If you just want to come for prayer, then our altar's open and you're welcome to do so.